You are listening to the SmackDown Breakdown with Atlee Green and Adam Cohn.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the SmackDown Breakdown here at Gerwig.net. Some people call me the Slam Master, others call me the Sultan of Slam Jitsu. Today, you can call me Atlee Green, and my host, as always, is the Funky Weapon himself, Adam Cohn.
What's up, Atlee?
Well, Adam, I have to ask you, did you go to the funeral on Monday?
Funeral on Monday? What?
The funeral that aired live on the USA Network on Monday.
Oh, no.
Oh, because Mick Foley buried Eva Marie alive during that promo with Sami Zayn, where she said he got traded for equal value for Sami Zayn. So they just buried her. The red brand burying a blue brand superstar, even if it is Eva Marie. So it was, in my mind, it was the funeral for Eva Marie.
Oh, boy.
And it makes sense.
Just because she changed the color of her hair.
And it makes sense considering on Total Divas right now, the gimmick with her is that she's not getting booked. And recently she showed up when she wasn't booked, and she got heat for showing up when she wasn't booked. Not that I watched the show, but, you know, that's the deal going on with Eva Marie. But enough talking about Eva Marie. Let's talk about the blue brand experience that is the SmackDown Breakdown, and more importantly, SmackDown Live, which emanated from the nation's capital at the Verizon Center in Washington, D.C. And the show opened with a very flu-like James Ellsworth sneezing and coughing everywhere which way imaginable. And it is clear to Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon that James Ellsworth cannot wrestle. He's in no fit to compete. So once again, the advertised world title match with AJ Styles and James Ellsworth has been put off for at least another week. And in the end, James Ellsworth sneezes all over Daniel Bryan. And he got a handful of Purell to wipe over himself. I mean, a handful of Purell? You're going to need to shower in Purell to get that disease off you. But then we go to a Miz TV segment where AJ Styles comes out as the guest. And you got AJ Styles and the Miz kind of just rubbing shoulders, being very complimentary toward each other. And then the Miz kind of turns heel and says, hey, the one superstar that's above your league is me. And it looks like he's going to challenge him for the world title. But then you have Dean Ambrose comes in, Dolph Ziggler comes in, Luke Harper comes in. And then it gets made into a fatal four-way. And the winner of that main event here on SmackDown Live will take on AJ Styles for the WWE Championship in 2 weeks on SmackDown. And it's going to be emanating from Chicago, Illinois, the Allstate Arena. But guess what else is happening on that particular episode of SmackDown? That's right, folks. The return of John Cena, the man himself who recently headlined Saturday Night Live. Now, Adam, did you get to see him on Saturday Night Live?
No, and I need to go watch it because I hear great things about it, and the clips look hilarious.
There is a particular segment where John Cena is a college football player for the University of Alabama, and that's all I'll say. So I think you'll like
Roll
that
Tide.
Segment. I think you'll like that segment very, very much. But that was a good way to kind of kick off the show. But I do have issue with WWE advertising something that they know they're not going to be giving away on the show, because, again, is James Ellsworth versus AJ Styles like a WrestleMania main event? No, not really. But at the same time, they know that they're not going to have AJ Styles wrestle. They know they're going to save him when they need him because his ankle is still banged up. But at the same time, they keep advertising the match, and then boom, oh, we're not going to have it. And I don't see them doing it next week because they're advertising the big title match that's going to happen, which we'll get into when we go over the main event. But what do you feel about WWE advertising one thing knowing they're not going to deliver it?
They got to stop it. This is twice this week already. Emma's re-debut, they've nixed on Raw, and this is now the second time on SmackDown that they've called this main event, and they're not doing it. Look, if AJ's still injured, call the damn thing off right off the angle, but this has got to stop. It's false advertising, and getting people to watch will actually make people do the opposite. You keep lying to them, they'll turn off the product, and we don't need that right now. Because SmackDown's trying to build up their brand once again for being a live product and not taped, and they're trying to get ratings.
No, because, I mean, they took AJ Styles off the house shows this past weekend, and also, I actually looked at WWE.com, and AJ Styles is not advertised for the SmackDown house show on Saturday in Peterborough, Ontario. He's not advertised for the house show in Barrie, Ontario on Sunday, and he's not advertised for the house show in Hamilton, Ontario on Monday. But what's weird is neither is Dolph Ziggler. He's not advertised for all of those house shows over the weekend, but AJ Styles and Dolph Ziggler are both advertised for the episode next week's SmackDown, which is going to be in Detroit, Michigan. So that tells you AJ Styles is definitely going to be on the shelf for a little bit. They just wanted to give time to heal. But that is a weak SmackDown lineup, especially when you get SmackDown touring Canada this weekend coming up. And there's no AJ Styles, no Dolph Ziggler. That's a weak lineup to me, Adam.
That is definitely weak. I mean, we saw this last time. What happens when AJ and Cena are not there? It shows. And it shows the lack of depth in character building. And we talked about this last week on the SmackDown Breakdown. Only for the documenting, WWE needs to push guys.
Oh, yeah, because you got no Cena, no AJ Styles, and now no Ziggler for those house shows. So it's definitely a weak lineup. I hope those tickets weren't that expensive. But then we go to the first official match of SmackDown Live this week, where it's Carmella taking on Natalya with Nikki Bella at ringside, and basically Carmella defeated Natalya, and I hated this match. It wasn't about the match, it was about the story of Nikki Bella just showing her frustration, showing her confusion, because it couldn't have possibly have been Natalya that beat her up at Survivor Series and jumped her from behind. But this match was not a well-worked match at all. I'm not saying something considering Natalya was involved. There was one point where Natalya was unleashing her ground and pound, as Marinal likes to say, and then all of a sudden Carmella snatched her up, or tried to snatch her up, for a leg scissors guillotine choke, and then all of a sudden she couldn't hook the moves of Natalya basically to help her put the chokehold on her, and it took me out of the match completely. I was just like, okay, when Natalya has to help you put a chokehold on, that's a wrap right there.
This match was poor. It was poorly executed. And I thought the real focus on this match was continuing this story. The fact that Natalya had to run out and talk to Nikki before Carmella's music hit. Okay, why are you not continuing to talk to her as Carmella's walking to the ring? If you really want to tell a story, that's what you do. It was poor. This whole stupid angle, pardon my language, it's stupid. It needs to stop. I never got a chance to fully watch all the way through Survivor Series because I was doing things that night and I kind of have to go back. But now I'm more curious than ever what actually happened to Nikki Bella at Survivor Series.
We shall see what happened to Nikki Bella. They'll probably reveal that at some point. But then we go backstage where comedian Gabriel Iglesias, otherwise known as Fluffy, is...
Fluffy!
He's talking to Apollo Crews, and then Maryse yells quiet on the set as she and The Miz show up. Maryse told him once again to be quiet, and they traded wonderful jokes back and forth to each other, talking about Miz's suit, and then The Miz called Apollo Crews Apollo Creed again. And this entire segment was pretty much useless. It was only a tool to promote the Tribute to the Troops show that's happening tomorrow night on the USA Network, or Wednesday night. And it was interesting because the least entertaining guy by far in this segment was Apollo Crews. And I'm thinking to myself, why would you put Crews in this segment? I know there's an upside with him. I don't know what that is right now, but it'd be a great athlete. But as far as a character, he's just not connecting at all.
Atlee, he has no character. That's what we've been saying this entire time. He has no character.
And the thing is, WWE has to realize the fact that he has no character, because they actually played a Baron Corbin vignette that usually they just do, like, oh, coming soon. But once in a while, they do a vignette video package of a wrestler just to kind of remind you, hey, don't forget about this guy. This guy is going to be a big deal in our plans. And they showed that. And that was more entertaining than anything Apollo Crews did. Again, not that they gave him much to work with, because the segment was clearly made to promote Tribute to the Troops again and to really make Gabriel Iglesias the star of the segment. But it was just little kid humor, which, again, we're in the PG era, so why not? But again, it goes back to Apollo Crews. WWE knows for a fact they have not written a character for him whatsoever. So if they can't even get anything out of him in this segment, I don't know what they're going to do with him going forward.
Allie, he wasn't in NXT even a year. You had how many guys? You had Ty Dillinger that was on NXT for years. That took him years to come up with that perfect 10 gimmick. You yanked Crews way too early, and that may be the theme going forward. We have a big enough sample size since he debuted in the main roster in April. They pulled him way too quickly out of NXT. There's been almost no reaction for him. No one's really cared. This is the main roster. This isn't a guy like me who loves professional wrestling and New Japan and Lucha Underground and loves the wrestling aspect. This is where you do characters and storylines with the wrestling. It's more character and storytelling than just 20 minutes of wrestling and we go home. They need to do something with him. Send him back to NXT. Send him to the Performance Center. Send him away. Write him a character. Make him a moth. Make him something. He's standing there in the corner with Fluffy and Miz and Maryse. He looked out of place. Baron Corbin would have been more entertaining standing there.
Hopefully he finds a character or they write a character for him that's entertaining at some point. But speaking of entertaining, which I thought was entertaining, was the number one contenders tag team battle royal. I mean, what was interesting about this is normally with tag team battle royals, once one member of the team is eliminated, the entire team is eliminated. And I like the fact that they did both members of the team had to be eliminated in order for the team to be officially eliminated. And it came down to Zack Ryder winning the Battle Royal for the Hype Bros. So the Hype Bros are now the number one contenders for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. And actually, WrestleZone.com reported that a writer for the Rolling Stone magazine was at ringside for the match. And it turns out that Zack Ryder, on that last elimination, the Hurricane Rana over the top rope, where he held to the top rope, he might have banged his knee as the referees held the X sign. The trainers had to help Zack Ryder back to the locker room. Again, we don't know the extent of the injury, if there is an injury, but maybe he just banged it up and needs a couple days to rest, or maybe it's a legit injury. I hope it's not, but that's the word going around right now about Zack Ryder. But nevertheless, the Hype Bros win the Battle Royal, which, in my opinion, was a fun match, fun enough match, I should say, but the fans were not into this at all. There was no heat for this match whatsoever until Jason Jordan, near the end, went on that rampage. And when he went on that rampage, just throwing people after another after another, I thought American Alpha was going to win it until he got eliminated. And then he slid and went on a little bit of a rampage of his own, and fans were actually legit disappointed when he got thrown out. And of course, he accidentally eliminated Rhino. So there lends more credence to the possibility of Beauty and the Man-Beast breaking up.
Yeah, I only have one thing to say in this match. Did we overlook how strong they made Connor look towards the end of that match?
I don't think we overlooked it, but I don't think there's really anything of note because they're not doing anything with the Ascension.
They may be doing something with Connor because Victor was still not early, and I just thought Connor looked, you know, imposing. Are they doing something with him? Like, what are they doing? I honestly thought there were a few times they thought he was going to win. And we wouldn't get this, like, new persona out of him.
Well, I didn't think they were going to win, necessarily. I just chalked it up to Connor's a big guy, so therefore you're in a battle royal. And even though this really never happens, quote, in wrestling folklore, big, strong, jacked-up guys always have the advantage in a battle royal situation because they're strong. All you got to do is pick somebody up and throw them over the top rope. So I think they were just playing that more than anything. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. Royal Rumble. I'm going off script a little bit. Royal Rumble, 1995. Guess who drew number 30? Crush drew number 30. And right away, Vince McMahon's trying to sell it. There's the winner of the Royal Rumble right there because Crush is a big guy that throws people around, dominates people, but you knew for a fact Crush was not going to win the Royal Rumble, and he did not. So that's something that they always try to do, so I didn't look at it as any more than what it was in that particular setting. But, you know, he did look impressive for the time he had to do his thing. But then Alexa Bliss comes out for her match, with Deonna Purrazzo, and I'm butchering her last name, so I apologize. Bob Evans, my boy Bob Evans, is a big fan of Deonna, so, and she's actually appeared on NXT on several occasions, and she's actually been making a name for herself in Ring of Honor and the independents all over the country. And of course, Alexa Bliss grabbed the microphone and said that she has a new charity and called her Jane Ellsworth, which got a kind of a nice pop from the crowd. And then Alexa Bliss just decked her right outside, decked her in the jaw. Purrazzo just fell outside the ring, and it looked like there wasn't going to be a match until Becky Lynch came out and was like, hey, this referee, you're dressed to wrestle, let's do this right now, I want my rematch. And Alexa Bliss is like, yeah, I'll give you a rematch, but not this week, and tries to bounce until Shane McMahon says, we don't do it this way on SmackDown Live, so he makes the match. And Adam, take us to the rest of it.
Well, first of all, is Deonna Purrazzo even still with NXT anymore? Because she's been doing a lot of independents lately.
No, Deonna has not been signed to NXT, but they use a lot of outside talent to see if maybe they want to bring her in someday. They do that with the male talent, too, because they had their eye on her. And at the rate they use her, it's probably only a matter of time before she gets signed.
Interesting. I have nothing here other than, is Alexa really hurt?
No, Alexa's not really hurt, because that was a fake-out job just to get out of the match, and then she sucker-punches Becky Lynch. So the feud between Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss will continue. So the
and
match,
I'm all for it.
Basically, Becky Lynch defeated Alexa Bliss via count-out, so she wins, but doesn't win the championship. But the knee's fine. It's all good. Promo to announce Randy Orton's going to be on Shooter, a show on the USA Network starring Ryan Phillippe. But then we get to the main event of the evening, a number one contender's Fatal 4-Way Elimination Match. Dolph Ziggler defeated Dean Ambrose, The Miz, and Luke Harper. And, Adam, you and I were talking about this at the top of the hour, where I don't know if WWE does this intentionally or inadvertently, but they put Luke Harper in these situations where they make Luke Harper look like an absolute destroyer, an absolute world beater.
It was glorious.
And then after he's done his thing and he's eliminated or just he's out of sight, out of mind, they don't do anything with him again. But Luke Harper performs so well in these situations that they put him in when it's his time to shine, that you just think to yourself, why aren't they pushing this guy? Why aren't they doing more with this guy? Because this guy clearly has the goods to go a long way. And it kind of reminds me of The Flock back in the WCW days in the 90s, where you had Raven, who was a good worker, good ring psychology, great on the microphone, but you also had his number one enforcer, Perry Saturn. And even though Raven was highly entertaining and good in the ring, Perry Saturn was arguably like the better wrestler move for move, hold for hold. So that's why I kind of see Luke Harper, of course, a lot bigger, and the way this guy moves the ring for a guy his size is just unreal. And I wanted to see a Luke Harper versus AJ Styles match, but I knew they weren't going to do heel versus heel in 2 weeks, and then they just had Dolph Ziggler hit the super kick on Dean Ambrose. 1, 2, 3. Your winner, Dolph Ziggler. He's now the number one contender. And Adam, you and I were talking about this off the air. You're not a fan of this decision.
No, none at all. Was a fan of Luke Harper. Oh, I need to see him pushed. I was rooting for him to win this match. I didn't want to see Ambrose win. I didn't want to see Ziggler win. The way that Harper came across in the ring, how dominant he looked, some of the moves he pulled off. Atlee, he pulled off a Michinoku driver, and he's flying out of the ring, and he's just being all kinds of awesome. We've seen this out of Luke Harper before. Over the course of the last few years, they gave him the IC title. He had a quick run with that. He is a special talent, but they got to know how to use him. I think if he actually had something that was outside the Wyatt family, he could have been bigger, quicker. But I digress. No, I'm not a fan of the decision at all. I think Ziggler AJ is meh. And Styles and Ellsworth is meh. If this is just to bridge us, to get us to the possible rumor of AJ versus The Undertaker, okay. I can live with this and deal with this for 2 weeks if we're getting to AJ and The Undertaker. Because I'm going to take you back to the Miz TV segment. When AJ went in and was essentially telling Miz, I've beaten Cena, I've beaten Ambrose, who else is about to be the beat that's on my level? And the first thing I thought was someone hit the gong. I want
Me
to
too.
Hear the gong.
I was thinking the same exact thing, and we're probably not the only ones that were thinking that.
So I think the rumor may actually be coming to fruition if AJ's already starting to tease it, and they may be dropping hints towards it. Will we get AJ and Undertaker at the Royal Rumble? Yes, please.
I mean, the way I look at the situation is that I know there's going to be a lot of people that are wondering, why Dolph Ziggler? Just like the last time he had a world championship match against Dean Ambrose at SummerSlam, nobody bought the idea that Ziggler had a chance of winning, and nobody was really interested in that match. And the thing is, Dolph Ziggler pinned AJ Styles in that Fatal 4-Way or Gauntlet match on the first episode of SmackDown Live once the brand split was official to get the championship match, hit with the super kick 1, 2, 3. So now we're getting this match again, and it's a singles match that we haven't seen yet, as much as I can tell. So I'm glad we're getting something different. I'm glad we're not getting Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles again. I'm glad we're not getting AJ Styles and The Miz, because I don't know. We saw those two wrestle each other a little bit in the beginning of the year, and the match really didn't click that well. And as much as I would love to see Luke Harper and AJ Styles, They're not going to advertise heel versus heel 2 weeks, especially when Luke Harper is, as far as out four of those guys in the ring, the least known name of the four. So I'm glad to give her something different. Again, Ziggler and AJ is going to be a good match, but will people care considering it's Dolph Ziggler? That's the question WWE's got to ask themselves as they head into the Allstate Arena in 2 weeks as SmackDown advertises this match. But it's going to be interesting because do we get Ellsworth before or do we get Ellsworth in the new year?
Probably in the new year at this point. And they could easily put Ellsworth in the back burner, or it can be the quick squash match we've been waiting for the last 2 weeks.
And also, speaking of going back to the tag team situation again, Adam, is that it was announced on WWE.com on December 7th that the Wyatt family is invoking a rarely used custom during their reign as SmackDown Tag Team Champions. And then I'm going to read the article, quote, "While Bray Wyatt and Randy went and captured the titles for the family at TLC, SmackDown Live Commissioner Shane McMahon and General Manager Daniel Bryan have sanctioned Luke Harper as champion as well, making him eligible to defend the championship alongside of Wyatt Orton under the Freebird rule." So there you go. The Wyatt family will get to use the Freebird rule for the Tag Team Championship. And again, I don't like to see the Freebird rule being used too often, especially when they said a rarely used custom, which I laugh because it's not that rare right now, being that the New Day uses it. But if this is real and you have a trio on Raw defending the Tag Team Championship that was sanctioned by the heel commissioner and Stephanie McMahon, why wouldn't the babyface commissioner sanction a heel trio to defend the Tag Team Championship? So it's kind of like, oh, if Raw gets to do it, we should be able to do it too. That's kind of the way you can justify it, in my opinion. But I'm going to be curious to see this, because if nothing else, we get to see more Luke Harper, which after this Fatal 4-Way, I'm all for.
I want to see more Luke Harper from the Wyatt family. I want to see him after titles. I want to see him with all the titles right now. Like, this is a guy that we've been saying that had been pushed for a while. I'm all for the Freebird rule. And quite honestly, I think they could make it work better than the Stale Day.
You just said the Stale Day, didn't you?
I said the Stale Day.
Some people think so. Some people think so. John Cena coming back on the 27th. Is it a mistake to have him come back on the last episode of SmackDown of 2016? Or should they just wait until the first SmackDown of the new year? Because they can make a real big deal out of the first show of 2017 with John Cena's return, but I guess they feel they can do the same thing with the last episode of 2016. Personally, with that week being just coming off of Christmas and then New Year's right around the corner, I don't think too many people are going to be watching wrestling that intently, because again, everybody's busy during the holidays, and statistically, ratings go down that week for WWE programming. They go down more than usual because it's coming off the holiday season.
I think it's very interesting that Cena's coming back in Chicago. Not exactly been the most receptive to him over the years. You should have him come back in the new year on the first episode.
Chicago is definitely not Cena country for sure, but the fact that CM Punk has not been a professional wrestling setting for a few years now, perhaps people are going to turn the blind eye to that and actually cheer John Cena. Who knows? Time will only tell. But folks, that is going to do it here for the SmackDown Breakdown here at Gerwick.net. That is GERWECK.net. Gerwick.net, your source for pro wrestling news since 1997. Adam, anything you want to shill or plug before we get out of here?
You guys get to follow me on Twitter and on the Fantasy Life app at AdamWX21.
And you all can follow me on Twitter at @AtleyGreen. Definitely check out my blog at thegreenscreen.net.
The folks, RVD approved.
The RVD approved.
Greenscreen.net.
Yes. So, folks, I'm going to get out of here so I can go check out Star Wars Rogue One. That's going to do it for me. This for Adam Cohn. Sayonara, suckers. We'll see you next time.
Laters. Go watch Star Wars.
For the latest in pro wrestling news, rumors, and opinions, keep it locked at the official YouTube channel of Gerwick.net. That is GERWECK.net. Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.